Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years.
After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, having food distributed to all on our planet. We also at that time include the heads of government worldwide at this most critical time, that they make their decisions out of the power of love rather than the love of power. Noticing your thoughts, release any thought of the past or any thought of the future, your future plans. Just presence yourself to right now. Right now. As you continue to breathe deeply, imagine silver white light moving up your spinal pathway like a silver spinning disc. Move up your spinal column, up, all the way up, in through your neck area, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Now place your attention at the point between the eyebrows. And know as I speak these words, I speak them for me and for you in the I person. I acknowledge one divine infinite presence and power, one universal life force, one divine mind, one infinite God. It is not only wise, it is the fullness of wisdom. It is not only creative, it is creativity itself. It is unconditional love, expressing everywhere, not one spot where it is not. It expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me, because I am immersed in it. It is my very life. Today, right here and now, I dive into the depths of the true awareness that there is no future in the past. My life is not behind me. My life is right now, which creates my future. I release and I let go of all that ties me, binds me to the past. I discard all things, conditions, circumstances, relationships, and thoughts that do not enliven, empower, and support me in the present moment. I am willing for a radical pastectomy. I'm willing to recreate myself, my life anew, each moment, and I do so now. I do not seek to forget the part of my past that has brought me gifts. Rather, I intend to change the future by how I am being right now. Before and after my decisions, I ask, is this about who I really am? Is this what love would do? Because love is what I truly am. I am love at the core. I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. And most of all, I'm thankful for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. You know, we're several years into our new millennium, and boy, wasn't there a lot of talk about that a couple of years ago. But I think you'd all agree that in this new millennium, there is actually an acceleration of self-awareness. An uncovering, a discovering, and truly experiencing who we really are. An acceleration of self-realization. There's also an acceleration of self-actualization. I think we really need to look behind the headlines of the news, and whether it's printed or on television, and realize that there's a lot of things happening, but there's also like a radical uprising. And people speaking out like never before. And people taking other people to task. People pointing things out. And sometimes we say, oh God, the whole world's going to heck. But it's that there's an uncovering and discovering of what isn't working, so that correction can be put in. And within this this acceleration of self-awareness and self-realization and self-actualization, underneath it is the realization that we are co-creative with each other, and we're co-creative with that infinite presence and power that is our very life. So knowing that and standing that on that, we realize that we, as we co-create in the now. Has anybody ever co-created in the future? Has anybody here ever co-created in the past? No, it's like it's present moment as we're co-creating it. It's right now. So there is no future in our past. I love what the Course in Miracles says. The only wholly true statement about the past is that it is not here. The only true statement about the past is that it is not here. So my purpose today is threefold. Number one, us realizing at a deeper level than ever before, you know, where you are right now is at the Celebration of Life experience for the Center for Self-Awareness, which is a new thought center. Some people call it their new thought church. The new thought is about realizing that we are soul, we don't have a soul, and that statement, we could all go home and mull over that for a week, because that's a profound statement. We are soul. We're spiritual beings going through a human experience. Many times people say, well, I'm human being. We never call ourselves human wases.
Or what about human going tos? We're a human being, that's a very, very present thing. And when I come back to this point, I want us to dive more deeply into the models of psychology so that you can have a very short overview to know where it's come from, where it is now, and hopefully, you know, where we're going to go into the future with it. And hopefully it'll be very healthy. The second point, when I thought about this topic, radical pastectomy, you know, like we've heard about other ectectomies, hysterectomies, and appendicectomies, or whatever we call it, but we can create new words anytime. So this is about radical pastectomy. What does radical mean? Radical means getting to the root of, like getting in there and digging in. You know, many times we have some things that perhaps we had some traumatic experiences a little in our little life or in growing up, and perhaps we haven't completed with it. We never felt the feeling of it. What we can't feel, we can't heal. And it remains, I like to call it like an octopus. It's like an octopus, and this octopus has tentacles everywhere. So we want to get into this radicalness and get to the root, not just the tentacles that are, you know, a little challenge here, a little problem here, a little thing showing up over here. Oops, this is something that's showing up, only this time it's called John instead of Mike, and like that, you know? Get to the root of it. So this means really releasing the things that tie us to the past, the things that bind us to the past. And then many of you are well-versed in Scripture, and some of you aren't, but there's a story in Scripture. And we have to remember that, you know, sometimes people read the Bible and they go, that's stupid, that's silly, that probably never happened. But what they don't realize is that it's written in parable so that we can listen to the story, whether or not the story happened exactly the way it says, literally, and we can take that story and say, well, what does this mean in my life? And the story that I want to just point out briefly today is the story about Lot's wife. You know, they were fleeing the city, and they were warned not to look back. And what did Lot's wife do? She looked back. And what happened to her? She turned into a pillar of salt. Well, somebody said, well, what does that mean? Well, I think if you were a pillar of salt, you couldn't move forward. So when we look back, we just cannot move forward. Okay, so I want to go back to point one about realizing who we are as a spiritual being. You know, psychology has gone a long way, and when it first began, it began with Freudian psychology. And I'm going to just bottom line it, speak to these very simply and easily so that we can understand it. If you're writing any notes, and I do suggest you write notes and review them within the next 24 hours, because if you do, you'll have up to 80% retention. So if you just write a little note and then review it, it'll stay present to you so much longer. If you'd like to draw a little triangle, do so right now on your paper. And on the bottom part of the triangle, put Freud down there, Freudian psychology. And in Freudian psychology, what they were teaching people to believe about themselves was that we're instincts and tendencies and drives. Instincts, tendencies, and drives. And then along came the behavioristic model. So put that on one side, the left side, number two, behavioristic model. Psychologists like Watson. And these people believe that who we are
was like a clear slate when we were born, and that we're written on, we're impressed, and we're programmed. Well, what are some of the things that would be programming us? Well, certainly the type of family we were raised in, our parents, big significant people in our life, the culture that we were born into and raised in, the education that we've had and the teachers that we've had, certainly our religion, whether we ever went to church or not, or embraced a religion. There's like a race-mind consciousness that has been impregnated over eons, over generation upon generation, that have been embracing religion and teaching certain things. And I'll include in that, as far as programming, doctors. And we could go on and on. Our environment, all those things. Now, you've got your two types of psychology there, Freudian and behavioristic. Now, I don't know how many people know this, but those two models of psychology were created by studying unwell and incarcerated people. There was a big shift in psychology then. The third force came along, and you can write it on your other side, and that was the humanistic psychologist. Humanistic psychology, like Maslow, many of you have studied Maslow's hierarchy of needs that begin with self-preservation and survival and psychological needs all the way up the ladder to self-actualization. And the main premise there in humanistic psychology is that we have free will and choice. That's the big distinguisher between us and simple consciousness in the animal realm. We have choice. And now there's been another shift, and I like to put it right in the middle of the triangle like a star, and that's transpersonal psychology. Now, if you look at that word, transpersonal, trans persona, it says who we are is far more than just our personality. It goes beyond that. It goes and points to a spiritual essence that we are. And for us to kind of enclose all those models, those four models, like a circle around it, just like we depict in our little logo for the Center for Self-Awareness, that we could say we're all of that. We're all of that. Of course we have drives and instincts and tendencies. Of course. Yes, we have been programmed. People and environment and conditions and circumstances have impressed us. And we have choice. However, if we would remember that we're a spiritual being first, that brings it all into a more healthy realm. I like to use this little example here. I usually light this candle to depict one presence, one power in the universe. One. And everything we do at the center is about healing the sense of separation, the sense of separation. So we could say that this light depicts the presence and power, and it's very hard to have something depict that because it isn't a thing. It isn't a thing. It's an essence, a spirit, a beingness, not a being. But let's, for example, depict this light as that infinite presence and power emanating everywhere.
Now we are like this crystal that I'm going to hold against the light, you see. And we're going to have this light shine through us, all the different facets of us. Now, sometimes some of our facets are a little foggy. And where they've gotten foggy, we weren't born with them foggy. Where they've gotten foggy is through some of these different models of psychology, and especially some of the places where we've been programmed. Now, you could say, well, just a minute, Gail. Some children are born with some challenges. Well, I firmly believe that we're not born with diseases. We're born with the tendency where within utero we have a tendency. And whether or not that tendency will come to fruition is dependent upon the environment it's placed into. And we all have to remember that the environment is also the uterus. And this is not giving any blame to mothers. But it's like if we're born with a tendency, will that come to fruition? Maybe yes or maybe no, depending on the environment it's placed into. Now, it isn't only the uterus that's the environment. It's the environment that the woman and uterus are in also, and what that's been exposed to. So when we look at this light and this crystal, what we're about is letting go, cleaning up some facets that we haven't been, that the infinite presence and power's light hasn't been able to shine through in its full magnificence. In its full magnificence. You know, many of us are studying the book by Eckhart Tolle, A Power of Now, and I've been pulling out some quotations of his. He says this: the essential ingredient in most kinds of suffering is the diminishment of our sense of self. Now, I would go another step further. It's not the diminishment of the sense of self. It's that some of us, because of the environment we've been placed into and the programming we've had, haven't ever had a sense of self. Self, like capital S-E-L-F, who we really are. So a large part of our former ideas about ourself is foundational in others' ideas about ourselves. Others may want us to think that we are who we were yesterday. And none of us is who we were yesterday. None of us sitting here in this room or standing are the same people that arrived a few moments ago. Many others want us to think that we are our yesterday because they insist on it, because they have an investment in us continuing to be just the way we used to be. So in this radical pastectomy, it's very important for us to look at, so what are some of the ideas that I've had programmed into myself that isn't really about who I really am? And to be willing to let them go. To release and let them go. Now, when I said radical, that's going to the roots, releasing what ties us to the past. Now, if we really look at this, what it is,
It's our thoughts. Our thoughts that tie us to the past. The thoughts that we are sometimes rehearsing, sometimes we're nursing, sometimes we're caressing, sometimes we're embracing, sometimes we're clinging to them, as though we would drown without them. Again, Eckhart Tolle says this, identification with thoughts, emotions that go with the thoughts about drama creates a false mind, a false mind made sense of self, conditioned by the past. It's our little me story. In an unawakened state, you don't use your thoughts use you. So it's not like to have no thoughts, but it's to really examine what kind of thoughts we have. And is the predominant thought, I'm trying to remember what Neil Donald Walsh calls it. He's got a word for the thought. It'll come to me. Are those thoughts about who I really am, the spiritual being, can never be separate from God? I'm made in the image and likeness of God. Did you have any challenge or difficulty with the song singing I Am? And what did you conjure up in your mind as we were singing that song? Now just look and reflect on that. So sometimes we've had some things happen to us in the past, and people nurse, rehearse, caress, cling, as though if they didn't have it, they'd be drowning. And what they don't realize is that they are literally dying because they are hanging on to those thoughts. Buckminster Fuller, by any account, he was an extraordinary man, and by his account, he labeled himself an ordinary man. At the age of 30, he was thinking and sensing that his life was a failure. Now, just that one sentence. If someone's thinking of their life as a failure, what are they into? The past. They're like that. So he was thinking and sensing his life was a failure, and he actually rowed out to the rowboat, out to the center of a lake and prepared to take his life. I didn't know that about Buckminster Fuller. Most people called him Bucky Fuller. And then he realized if he were willing to die, might he just as well use his life as an expression to see what the little individual could do living as though he had no past. Wow. What the little individual could do on behalf of humanity. And some people say, well, I don't know who Buckminster Fuller is. Who the heck was he? Well, he was an architect. He was an author of 25 books, an inventor, a comprehensive designer, a map maker, a philosopher, a poet, a mathematician, and an engineer. I would say that's a few accomplishments.
But see, what he had to do was let go of that thought of failure and live his life as though he had no past. Specifically because he was linking up his past with failure. So what do we link up our past with? Some of you have very healthy thoughts about that, and some people do not have healthy thoughts. Now, when I said earlier in the meditation, I said it's not about forgetting all the past. It's not about forgetting all the past. Like, there are certain things in the past that have been gifts. Like, you know, if you've come close to a stove, turn the element on, and you can feel the heat, well, past experience would tell you that's hot, and you wouldn't have had to have touched it, or maybe you did at one time touch it, not knowing the element was on or something, or tested an iron to see if it was hot, and it was hot. Well, those are past things that are gifts to us that will empower us in the now and for the future. But it's to let go of the thoughts that tie us to the past. So a good question for us to walk away with here is, what if I changed my mind about this? What if I changed my mind about this? There's a wonderful exercise that I facilitate in one of the workshops that we lead. And when the people get around in circles and they have somebody sitting in the middle, and they're going to pivot around and speak to each person around in their circle. And the instruction is to let go of all your preconceptions of that person. All your preconceptions of that person that you had in the past. Just, if you will, come to them like a blank slate for that moment. And we have lovely music playing in the background. And they have a minute. A minute can be quite a while. It's not a couple of seconds. It's 60 seconds. To just look into that person's eyes and be with them in the present moment. Be with them. Notice their thoughts, and if a thought comes in about how they were before, or what your thought about them was, or, you know, you didn't like what they said, or you don't care for what they're, how they look, or what they're wearing, or anything like that. Let it go. Keep letting it go. Keep letting it go. Presence yourself to that person, and then speak a word from your heart to theirs as to what you'd like to say to them, like a gift of appreciation. And it's amazing what comes out. It's amazing what comes out. So how we put this topic into our life, radical pastectomy, it's not so much about people that we get along with, but what about having radical pastectomies with some people that aren't our favorite people? You know, are we willing to let go, you know, keep letting go the thought, the judgment, the criticism, the whatever, and just be with them? I'll say it like this, spirit to spirit, but it's not two spirits. Get what I mean? It's like that joining. I always remember Terry Cole Whitaker. She's back in ministry now in Palm Springs, but she used to have a big, big television ministry in San Diego years ago, and I used to listen to her tapes almost constantly for a couple of years. And she was speaking about this subject one time at a conference that I was at, and she says, you know, she's walking down the aisle of the superstore or whatever it was, grocery shopping, and she met this lady that she hadn't seen for a while, and she said, "How are you, Beth?" And Beth said, "Well, since Jim left," and then the story. And Terry says, "Jim left 7 years ago." So the question is, who would that Beth be? Who would she be if she was willing to have a radical pastectomy and let go of that story since Jim left? Or what? You fill it in. You fill it in. Yada, yada, you know? You know, last week when I was speaking about letting go and releasing, I talked a little bit about letting go of clutter in our life, and I hope you went home and started to, you know, look at your home and, you know, releasing things, and if it's, whether it's clothes or things, if it's not authentically me, I release it or I don't buy it, especially when you're out shopping. If it's not authentically me, I don't buy it. So, you know, there's definitely that about releasing and letting go. And I spoke just a moment on relationships and what Orville Hendricks has to say on completing a relationship, especially if it was a divorce or a significant other. But today I'd like us to entertain the idea of perhaps spending some time in the next little while and making a list of our relationships and realizing that some of our relationships are built on who we were in the past rather than who we are right now. Who we are right now. And sometimes we have people in our life that draw us to the old way of life that we are no longer living. And it's time for us to release them lovingly. Lovingly. Now, I'm a great one for doing writing and writing a letter. But it's a different kind of letter in that you can say, you know, this is a wonderful way of radical pastectomy, of saying whatever you want to say to that person. And you can even start off, if you're really upset with this person, you may even be angry with this person. Write it all down. Write it all down. And again, and whatever, and another thing, and another thing, and another thing. But you don't send it to them. You don't send it to them. At the end of the year, we usually have a burning bowl ceremony, and we write down some things we want to release. But this is like a letter. You know, if you have a fireplace, or anybody can get a match or whatever, and just, you know, burn it and see it dissipating into the ethers. You know, have it be like a physical thing that you can get involved with, so that you can release it and let it go. Because I'll tell you what, when we do that, what is stuck has been stuck in us. And it's about cleansing and releasing and purifying ourselves. Because so many times people think a communication is, well, I'm going to tell you what's bothering me so that you'll never do it again. Like there's a hook in there. There's a hidden agenda. How about telling them what you think of them in a letter and then letting it go? Because it's what's stuck in us. And that's what in workshops sometimes we go to these powerful workshops, and sometimes the languaging is, be complete with it. What does that mean? Be complete with it. It doesn't necessarily mean finished. It doesn't necessarily mean not having them in your life in that particular form. It could mean that if it's a very abusive relationship. It could mean that. But being complete with them is that there's nothing going on inside when you presence yourself to them, and there's this hum going on in the background. I'll tell you, we'd be a lot more healthy society if we took it upon ourselves to truly do that. So when I was told to do the story about Lot's wife,
you know, really look in our life. What do we kind of keep looking back on? And sometimes it shows up like, if only this had been different. If only I had had different parents, you don't know what I suffered. If only I didn't marry that one, if you had my ex. If only my kids were different. If only, like that, you know, if only. We cannot have a better past, so we absolutely have to abandon that idea. Like, who would we be? Who would we really be? I mean, really, if we let go of any drama story, of any drama story. I think it was Alan Cohen that said, if you're telling it more than twice, there's something in it for you. You're telling the story more than twice. Now, I'm not saying to never, have somebody that you can communicate with and say, I need to share my feelings right now and to get it out. And it may or may not be the feelings about them in a very healthy, powerful way. And to own our feelings and to really educate ourselves as to what are feelings and what are evaluations and judgments. Because if we really look at that, most of what we say we're feeling right now is thoughts that we have created in our mind about what we think happened, and then we've owned it personally and taken it personally, rather than just saying how we feel, the true feeling. Again, Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now says it this way. It was in an interview with Sounds True Publishers. He said, withdraw from the identification with the unhappy self, the suffering little one. And then he says, which is ultimately a fiction of your mind. Those are startling words. They're startling words. So I know that this topic can be a little uncomfortable at times. It's for us to really look at, so what's next in purifying ourselves for the true meaning of Easter? Because it's at the center, Easter time is about victory and mastery and being born anew, not born again. And you know, I had an insight the other day after meditation. You know, many times in some religions they talk about letting Jesus into your heart. Well, at the center, we don't emphasize, we don't put a lot of emphasis on Jesus the man. What we do emphasize is the Christ consciousness that he portrayed and called us to. So, it's not about letting Jesus into our heart, because is it out here? No, the new thought is that the Christ consciousness is already within us. It's already there, and it's to let it out, to let it out, to express. So we've come the full circle, self-realization and then self-actualization. But in order to do that, we have to clean up a few of these facets. Some of us have just a couple of them that are foggy, and some people have a lot of them that are foggy. and that light cannot fully shine through. So would you just join me in a little closed eye closing to this topic in a moment? And I would ask you to uncross your arms and legs and take a deep breath. And I don't have a pianist that's accompanying me, so I'm going to do my little tinctures here. And this is an adaptation of Louise Hay's work on letting go. I am willing. I am willing to close the door on old painful thoughts and memories, and I do so now. I'm willing to close the door on old hurts, old self-righteous unforgiveness. Right now, I take an incident in the past where there was pain, hurt, something that has been difficult for me, something that has been difficult for me to look at, to release, to let go, and to forgive. Just bring that to conscious awareness right now. Ask myself the question, how long do I want to hold on to this? How long do I want to suffer because of my thoughts about what happened in the past? I now visualize in my mind's eye a stream of water in front of me. I take this old experience, this hurt, this pain, the unforgiving thoughts, and I put the whole incident and the thoughts about it into the stream. Visualize yourself doing that now. They're in the stream now, and I see them beginning to dissolve and drift. They're going downstream until they're totally dissipated and disappears. I am free. And so